Welcome, brothers and sisters. We thank you so much for coming in to Old Time Camp Meeting. Amen. The way it's supposed to be. I tell you the Lord's truth, we've about got away from it, but I tell you, I still like the old time way. Amen. For you folks visiting tonight, you don't know who this is. This is Brother Johnny Campbell, better known as Johnny the Baptist. Amen. And so we're so proud to have you folks visit with us here tonight. A lot of you's never been to an old-fashioned camp meeting. And so we're going to go in here in just a minute, and we're going to have some special singing. Boy, these young ladies are going to sing a song on Do You Know How It Feels? And then we're going to have the evangelist for tonight. We're going to have Brother Mays Jackson be able to preach a message here in a minute on When Your Roses Bloom Again. Amen. My friend, do you feel wilted? Do you feel dried up? Do you just feel like nothing's happening in your life again? I want you to know. I want you to listen to this message by Brother Mays. And then each and every night, as the sign out front says, as our camp meeting here, we're going to have different preachers. We'll have Dr. Harold Seitler. And we'll have Ralph Sexton Jr., we'll have Ralph Sexton Sr., and we'll just have different folks passing through, and we'll just be calling different preachers and getting different ones and different choirs and different folks to come sing. And may God bless you. Amen. And I just want you to get in here and enjoy the service, the old-time camp meeting time. May God bless you now as you listen to these young ladies sing, Do You Know How It Feels? Now the part that we've all been waiting for, the man of God to be able to come around and to preach the message. I'm proud to say my mentor and my friend bringing this message on When the Roses Bloom Again. Brother Evangelist Mays Jackson bringing the message now. God bless you.
Isaiah And then we're going to stand and read 10 verses. This is an old chapter. It's not much. Five chapters. And I'm going to help you, preacher, if you'll let me. I'm going to help some of you critical Christians. For five chapters, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, Isaiah said, woe you. Everywhere he looked, woe you. Everybody was wrong but him. For five chapters in the book of Isaiah, he said, woe you rebellious, woe you hypocrites. But in chapter 6, he saw the Lord. And for the rest of 60 chapters, he never said, woe to anybody but himself. Oh, he said, woe is me. Oh, listen, after he saw God, he quit that woeing. You see, you find a preacher that's always critical of everything and everybody. He hadn't seen the Lord in a long time. Amen? Now, if you'll let me, I tell you, you find me a Christian, and he's always come, I don't like the choir. I don't like Brother Jerry singing. I don't like the lady plays the piano. Brother, let me tell you something. If they ever get a good vision of God, they'll quit that mess. See, they're coming in looking for something wrong. And you can always find something wrong. You see, you can always find something wrong. But Isaiah, after chapter 6, never said woe to anything or anybody but himself. And he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I want you to see the Lord high and lifted up. So if you have your Bible, chapter 35, the book of Isaiah, would you stand with me, please? I want to read the 10 verses in this great chapter. Now listen to what verse 1 says, because you'll have to come back to that. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom like the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, and they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Well, one day Carmel's going to see the glory of the Lord. I got news for it. Bless God, I'm going to see it before then. Every once in a while, God gives me a little taste and a little peep in and see. Listen, I'd die if I didn't get look at the glory. That's God. We don't have to go around. We're born in glory. Now, look at what the scripture said. He said, strengthen ye weak hands and confirm feeble knees. Say to them that have a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, because your God will come with vengeance, even your God with recompense, and he will come and save you. Now, look at this, and I'm going to tell you something. God's going to save Israel. And if you get saved, God's going to have to do the saving. I'm glad God saved me before the Baptist got a hold of me. Say amen. I've seen such a mess that Baptists made out of people. I'm glad God got a hold of me before the Baptist did. Amen. Boy, it's pitiful today. God has to do the saving. And he said, I will come and save you. Well, that's a blessing to know God will save. Look what the scripture says, verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. I got a suit of clothes that it won't fit me. A blind man gave me 2 weeks ago at Garland Odom's church over in Atlanta. I was preaching. And he said, preacher, I've got a suit I just wore one time. I want to give it to you. And I said, you've never seen it. It's beautiful. Its texture is just beautiful. And he looked at me out of those blinded eyes, and he said, but one day I'll see. Glory to God, I like to turn 3 flips right there. When he said, one day I'll see. The Bible said, the blind shall see, shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And then shall the lame man leap with the heart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons which lay shall be grass and with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Not a whole mess, but holiness. Amen? Amen? There's a difference between true holiness and some of this mess you see going around today. Amen? Amen? And he said, the unclean shall not pass through it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go thereon, and it shall not be found there. But the redeemed, I like that, shall walk there. I'm glad to not be a hypocrite on that road. Say amen. Bless God, won't you be glad you're walking that highway and you can't see a hypocrite in 40 miles? Won't that be good? Won't be none. That's great. And listen to what the Bible said. He said, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, the songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now look to me, I'm going to give you something. There's a lot of sorrow tonight. There are a lot of you that, listen, you're going to wet your pillow with the Niagara scalding tears. A lot of you are going to get messages. I tell you, I miss Carlos tonight. I miss him. I'm trying to pray. I said, God, touch his daddy. It can be your will. And oh, there's sorrow and sighing on every hand. But I'm glad there's coming a day, Brother Chris and Barry. Hallelujah. When sorrow and sighing shall take wings and fly away. And brother, you talk about a time. It's going to be one. Look at verse 1 one more time. I'm going to read it. And then we're going to be seated. And I'll bring you the message. The Bible said, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice. We stop right there. You ever been in the desert? I've been in the desert in the Holy Land. I've been in the deserts. Oh, listen to me. In Africa, there's not a song there. There's no rejoicing there. You go to the desert, there's no shouting in that place. You go to the desert, but there's no joy over there. But he said, in that day, the desert shall rejoice. And then he goes on and said, and blossom as the rose. Oh, what a blessing. He said, there's coming a day when the desert shall look like a rose garden. Squire Parsons told me, he said, after you preach that, I wrote the broken rose. The broken rose. He said, I don't know how I got it out of that message, but he said, God spoke to me when you was preaching, when the roses bloom again in your garden. And in a moment, I'm going to bring you that message, but I want you to be seated all over the house, and I want you to bow for just a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for every blessing. I want to thank you first tonight for thy presence in this service. Lord, it'd be nothing. Oh, God, as we gather here in the singing or the praying or the preaching, if the Holy Spirit was not here. So we come to thank you and bless you. We come tonight because we know the roses can bloom again in our garden. Thank God we can smell the sweetness of that rose. I'm glad he is the rose of Sharon, the bright and the morning star. And what a blessing it is to know this tonight. So I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, and may everyone in this house be able to leave here and say, praise God, I've been where the roses bloomed again in the service. And we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way. I'm going to speak to you on when the roses bloom again in your garden. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could always have springtime? If we could always smell the dew of the morning? If we could always be out there in the garden of God? Now, that's exactly where Isaiah was. He was in the promised land. He was in the land of milk and honey. But he got up and he looked out. Now, before I tell you what he saw, let me say this to you. The roses can fade in your life. Your life can become dry, and your life can become a desert, and your life, my friend, can become a dread. But oh, Isaiah saw it. I meet so many preachers today, and their lives are like deserts and solitary places. Oh, there's no rejoicing. There's no praising. There's nothing that's refreshing about them. They have become a desert or a wilderness. But Isaiah looked across the promised land. He said, listen, one day that old dry desert will blossom like the rose again. He looked down the telescope of time and he saw the day when that lame man would be lame no more. He looked down and he saw that day when the blind man would be able to see. He looked down and he saw that day, Mr. there when all would be well, and a highway of holiness would be there, and the roses would bloom again in the garden of Israel. Brother, that's a blessing. Did you know that? I was a preaching one night over in Asheville, North Carolina, the great Jubilee, on when the roses bloom again in your garden. Man came up to me two nights later, and he said, I haven't been able to sleep. I said, why? He said, that sermon, when the roses bloom again. I said, why? Well, did he keep you from sleeping? He said, all I've been able to smell, I smelled roses for 2 days and two nights. And thank God, the roses are blooming again in my garden. But beloved, it's a proof. The roses can fade in your life. The roses can fade in your heart. The roses can fade in your home. The roses can fade in your church. But if you have your pencil, I'll give you at least three who had the roses to fade in their gardens. First of all, Abraham, saw the roses fade in his garden. I like old Abraham. The Bible said he was a friend of God. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm so glad that God's got some friends. I want to be a friend of Jesus. I want to be a friend of God Almighty. And the Bible tells me about Abraham that he staggered not at the promises of God. The Bible tells me that Abraham was the father of the faithful. The Bible tells me that God had to strip him and take everything from him but a tent and an altar. Did you know that's all God left Abraham with? A tent and an altar. That tent was to remind him that he was a pilgrim and a stranger, and he was sick in a city over yonder. That altar was to remind him that he had an appointment with God, and if he didn't meet God at that altar. I want to tell you, a little girl got up the other night and sang, "Meet me at the altar." I believe old Abraham got up every morning and said to his wife, Sarah, said, "I'm going out and keep my appointment. I've got me an altar." Mister, if a Christian doesn't have an altar, that Christian is in trouble. Abraham, but Abraham, and I have to go hurriedly, had to learn what three things were like. First of all, he had to learn, my friend, as he looked down time, what land, the land that God had given him. You see, he got his eyes on the blessing instead of the blesser. I want you to know the land can satisfy. God can bless you with everything on the sun, but bless your heart, it won't satisfy you. I used to think when I was a little boy, if I could ever get a Cadillac, or if I could ever get this and that and the other, that would satisfy me. I'd rather ride on a mule, bless God, that has an old tie skin, flop ears, drink bunch water, eat cornbread, sing Amazing Grace, than to have the biggest car in this country and be happy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. Abraham had to learn the land couldn't satisfy him. And you know what God did with that land? God did two things with that land to prove to him that land couldn't satisfy his heart. First, he had to send enemies in there. And enemies got in on the land, and he couldn't enjoy it like he should. Secondly, God sent a famine down there. And brother, that land became a desert. Listen to me. He had to learn what the land was like. Secondly, he had to learn what Lot was like. He had old Lot and his family. His karma was the devil, and always looking towards Sodom and wanting the things of this world. Did you know the devil will put somebody in your family just as carnal as the devil? When you begin to talk about Jesus and shout for victory, they'll say, now, you know, he's going a little too far. Well, bless God, most of you would have to get a ladder to touch bottom. Say amen. That's God, you're not too far. And he had to learn what Lot was like, had to learn what the land was like. Number three, and this is precious, he had to learn what the Lord was like. Oh, when you learn to what the Lord's like, I want to tell you, talking about shouting down, mister, when you learn what the Lord's like, he's tender, he's loving, he's kind, he's merciful. Oh, when you learn what God's like, I tell you, we need to learn what the Lord is like. You say, preacher, how did Abraham learn what the Lord was like? Abraham looked down, and then he looked up, and God said, Abraham, you love me?
Oh, what if God asked you tonight if you love him? And he said, why, God, you know I love you. He said, take thy son, thine only son, thy son whom thou lovest. Oh, isn't that just a picture of Jesus in Calvary? And God the Father giving his son? And he said, take him yonder and offer him up as a sacrifice, and I'll show you what I'm like. Praise God, I like that. I see Abraham come in that night, and he said to Sarah, Sarah, we're going to have prayer. And in the morning, me and little Isaac's going to get up early, and we got to go because I'm going to find out what the Lord's like. And boy, I can see him go to bed, and the next morning, they're up, and I see Abraham say to Isaac, go kiss mama, bye. And he kisses her by, and they get on the camels, and they go 3 days. That's a type of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Thank God. I'm glad they went 3 days. And it's a type of his death, burial, and resurrection. And when they got to the place, the place called Moriah, a place called Calvary, really, when they got there, God said, Abraham, leave out of the crowd. Take thy son and go yonder and worship. And he took 3 things with him. He put some wood on that little boy. That's a type of the cross. He took the knife in one hand and the fire in the other hand. And he said, son, we're going yonder to worship. Did you know that's the first place in the Bible the word worship's mentioned? In fact, in Genesis 22, it's the first place love is mentioned. He said, take thy son whom thou lovest. He loved his son. And I want you to know the side up that hill hadn't got very far, and that little boy looked up and he said, Papa, he said, you got the fire and I got the wood on my back. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Here's one of the greatest prophetic statements in the Word of God. I'm glad that Abraham looked down and he said, son, God will provide himself the lamb. I want you to know, thank God, that when old John the Baptist came out of the wilderness, he held up his hand and he said, there is that lamb that God promised that day to Abraham. And brother, what a blessing that was. But they got up there and they built an altar, and they got the water hot, and they got the fire, and he put the sword down and the knife and got it red hot, tied little Isaac's hands, and he said, son, the roses have faded in my garden. I prayed for you 25 years. And now I can't see any sunshine. I don't hear any singing, son. I'm going to have to offer you up. And he ties that little boy's hand and lays him on the altar. Here's what I believe. I don't know whether this is so or not, but I believe old Abraham was so tender. He reached over and kissed him on one cheek and said, that's for me. Said, I'll meet you there. Praise God. I believe he kissed that other little cheek and said, that's for your mother. But he said, son, we'll go back together on that hill. I want you to know he believed if he killed that little boy, that God was going to raise him up. And I want to tell you something just as sure as you're in this house. And my name's Brother Mays. If I didn't believe in a resurrection, I'd quit preaching, brother. You say that you believe. Bless, sir. Bless God, the tomb is empty now. And because he lives, we shall live. And you don't have to worry about it, brother. It's a miracle. Everyone is coming out of their graves. I'm glad I got a ticket for the first one. The first resurrection. Now watch this. I want to show you something. Abraham said, son, it's all right. And I believe the father called the angels over and said, boys, come over here. See that old man down there? That's me. See that boy? That's my son that's going to Calvary. And said, he's learning about me right now. Those angels bend over heaven and look down at that little boy and on that altar. Abraham reaches over and takes that knife out of the fire and starts down on that boy. God's trains always run on time. God said, Abraham, Abraham, stay thy hand. I'm glad God said, you're not going to do it. I just wanted to see that you would do it. And I see old Abraham, his heart's broken. He said, yes, but God, the roses have faded in my life. You know what the next verse says after God stopped him? He said, lift up your eyes in the thicket over yonder. There's a little ram that's caught in that thicket. And when Abraham looked over there and saw that substitute and saw that little lamb, he said, the roses had bloomed again. In my garden, praise God, I want you to know, the roses bloomed again in his garden.
Let me give you something. Frank Sales said this years ago. I don't know where it's so or not. But he said, Mays, when Abraham saw that crown of thorns, or saw those thorns that had that little ram caught, he said it was a crown of thorns. I don't know, but I want to tell you something. He's caught in a thicket of thorns. Oh, you hear me? I'm glad that Abraham went over and took that little ram out and came back and split its throat and put him on that altar. And then he said, let's go down yonder and tell those men that we're still together. And I believe they got halfway down the hill. Now, this is not in the Bible, but I believe Isaac said, excuse me, Papa, I got to go back up yonder. I believe he went back up and said, thank you, Lamb. I'm going home because you died. Said, I'm going home because all is well. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm glad I've been to Calvary because he died. I'm going home. I've been to the empty tomb and the roses have bloomed again in my garden. Secondly, there's a man named Jacob, and the roses faded in his life. Now, I like Jacob. You know why? He's like me and you. He's up today and down tomorrow. You pull a string. He's like one of these, you know, jumping jacks. He'd jump out and then go back. And he's like a lot of Baptists. My little grandson, you know, he's little. He came up to me and he had a yo-yo. And he said, what's this? Zoop, zoop, and zoop. And he said, Pappy, you know what that is? I said, sure, that's a Baptist. He said, that ain't no Baptist. I said, look at it. It's down and up and down. I said, that's the best illustration I've ever seen of a Baptist. Let's got some of you come in down on Sunday morning. Listen, the angels start singing. They couldn't bless you. If Gabriel blessed God to blow his trumpet, he couldn't bless you. And I want to tell you, if John the Baptist was risen from the dead and was preaching, he couldn't bless you. Because you're like Jacob, more down than you are up. And brother, that's not pleasing to God. Now, quickly, let me say something about Jacob. Jacob had two encounters with God. He had an encounter with God when he's a fugitive. He's running from God. But he met him that night at Bethel. Woo! Bless God, I like her. And a ladder came down. You know who that ladder was? That was Jesus. Always, bless God, Jacob's ladder was Jesus. And he saw angels ascending and descending. And when he was awakened the next morning, you know what God said to him? He said, hey, look up here. You know, Jacob said, this is a dreadful place. This is the house of God. Then I like this. He said, I believe I'm standing at the gate of heaven. Hallelujah. How'd you like standing there? Brother, I want to tell you, after that all night, gathering with the Lord, the blessings were there. But let me give you three things that we want to see about Jacob real quickly. Number one, we see he was saved. Oh, God made a new man out of him. Now, you say, preacher, I know folks that claim to be, if they're not new, they're not saved. This book says, if any man be in Christ, if any man saved, old things pass away, and A-double-L, all things become new. Oh, how we need to see, he was saved. And then we see him sifted. God had to sift him. Oh, God has to sift you. That's hard when it's going on, but you'll feel so much better when the knot's getting knocked off. Say amen. Bless God, you'll feel so much better after you're sifted. But I want you to see something else. Jacob was slowly changed. You know, these old saints just walked these country miles out here. These old saints that have lived for Jesus for 50 and 60 years through many dangers. Praise God. And toils they've already come. And God has slowly conformed them into the image of his dear son. My daddy was dying and he looked up and he said, son, why? Why didn't God let me die after I got saved? Why all the suffering? That old lady in intensive care said, I'm sorry, preacher. You'll have to go out for 55 minutes. I said, Daddy, I'll tell you the answer when I come back. I went back in intensive care in 55 minutes, and He looked up in tears. He said, "You got the answer?" I said, "Yeah." Oh, he said, "I'm glad." He said, "Why?" I said, "The Lord is just conforming you and conforming you." I said, "Brother," I said, "Dad, I'm glad you're looking more like Jesus, Lord." And he looked up at me and he raised that hand and he said, "It's worth it all just to be like him." Are you listening to me tonight? As sure as there's a God in heaven, Jacob was slowly changed. And I could tell you many things about how he was changed. Let me give you two things. We'll have to leave. His flowers faded. Jacob's life became a desert. You know when? 10 brothers came in with an old bloody coat and said, "Papa, he's dead. Papa, a beast slayed your son. See this blood? Papa, it's too bad, isn't it? Papa, you'll never see Joseph. He's dead. His rose is faded in his garden." Many years later, a caravan pulled up in front of Jacob's house. He was an old crippled man now. He walked out and said, "There's my boys coming back with corn from Egypt. But I wonder what news they like." And they're clapping their hands. And they ran in, and Reuben said to Simeon, "Let me tell him." And Simeon said, "Tell him, Reuben." Reuben said, "He lives in Egypt." That old bloody coat, I don't believe that. All these years, every time I looked at that cold coat, it said, "He's dead. He's dead. He's dead." And I can see him as he said, "And you come, this old man got a bad heart, crippled, God knocked my thigh out of joint at Peniel, across the river of death, really. And you tell me that my son Joseph liveth." They said, "Papa, he knew you'd have a hard time believing it. He sent a wagon out yonder, a wagon train, got almonds. Oh," said, "got some of the biggest fruit in the land of Egypt." Said, "Papa, all you got to do is to go and look out the window. I see that old man. He said, the rose has been a desert in my heart so long. I see him drag that old leg over to that window. And when he sees that gray camel train, he begins to clap those little feeble hands. And he said, he lives. My son lives in Egypt. My son liveth." And he said, "The roses have bloomed again in my garden. I want to tell you something. I've been to the tomb. I laid down the first time I went to that tomb." By the way, if you ever go over there, you know, you have to bend over. And I got in that tomb. And I said to Solomon Matter, I said, "Where's the key?" And he told me, and I got the key, and I cut that door open. And I went in and took off my shoes, and I laid my feet where his feet had been. I put my head where his head had been. I said, "Lord, I'm going to be sacrilegious, but let me feel just a little bit of the same power that raised you from the dead." Something hit me right in the top of the head and went plumb out my toes. I jumped up and ran out in the crowd and come down to have a sunrise service, and they saw me run out of that tomb. They thought the second resurrection had already taken place. I want to tell you, and I said, the tomb is empty. I've seen the wagons. Listen to me, the roses bloomed again in Jacob's garden. Let me give you one more. If I have time, I'll give you three more, but I'll just give you one. Listen to me. The roses bloomed again in Job's garden. Oh, I love old Job. I'll tell you, you need to study Job. I got a sermon where I preach the whole 42 chapters in one service. I give a whole panorama of the book of Job. And oh, Job's such a blessing. I want to tell you something. Job! A just man, a righteous man that walked perfect before the Lord. I want to tell you, he hated the devil. We need some Jobs around today, brothers. You know that? They'll hate the devil and everything he had. But the rose is faded in his garden. Now, the Bible said he is the richest man in the East. I mean, some people come and think, bless God, a preacher ought to wear patched breeches. Did you know that? And it might do us good to wear some patched breeches. It wouldn't hurt us, bless God. But God's been good to us. And God's let us have nice things. And I praise the Lord for that. But listen, Job was rich. He's the richest man in the East. And he had camels. And he had all these blessings. But four things caused the roses to fade in his garden. Write them down. First of all, he was crippled by bankruptcy. One day he had it all. The next day he said, The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to tell you, one day he had 7,000 camels. The next day he didn't have any camels. One day he had sheep, and the next day he didn't have sheep. It takes old-time religion, brother, when you lose everything in one day, to get on your knees and look up and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, anybody can shout so long as all the sheep are there. Anybody can shout so long as all the camel are there. But I want to tell you something. He was crippled by bankruptcy. I remember when the banks were closed up home. And this one preacher, you never heard me jump tell no pitiful tales and tell you I'm on starvation? Why, if you'd have seen that chicken I ate over the night, I started preaching on I'll Fly Away. I'm telling you, praise God, say amen. Why, you never put, listen, Kentucky Fried has never seen anything like that. And boy, it was as good as you've ever tasted. It was delicious. But I remember when the banks closed, and Daddy said, son, let's go down to the bank. And we didn't know it closed. And we got down there, standing in line. Daddy said, you'll get 20% on the dollar. I had $42 in there. I knew exactly. 1932, I had $42. I said, Daddy, I don't want no 20%. I want my $42. My daddy saw the man come out from the bank, the president. He said, the bank's closed, we're bursting. I said, Daddy, I want my money. He started to cry. Tears came to his eyes. He said, son, we got to go home. We got to the house, and my mother, whose name was Lillian, was lying on the couch, and she'd been praying. And Daddy walked in. She knew something was wrong, and she jumped up and said, Mays, what's wrong? My daddy said, we've lost everything, honey. My little old mother clapped her hands and said, no, we haven't. As long as we've got God and one another, we haven't lost everything. Oh, I want to tell you, as long as you've got God and brother, you've got one another, you haven't lost everything. He was crippled with bankruptcy. Secondly, he was crushed by bereavement. Some of you have lost one child or two children, or maybe three at one time, and that's bad, brother, any time you have to follow a child to the graveyard. But when you lose 10 in one day, oh, you talk about crushed, brother. You talk about the roses fading in his garden. He lost 10 in one day. Listen to me. I want you to know he was crushed. Brother Billy Kelly, who was going to be with us next year, I went down after this little boy died. I never will forget it. Me and Ralph Sexton went in, and old Billy walked over to us, and his eyes had protruded out, and they were real red, and he'd cried. He said, see that little baby boy there? I said, yes, Billy. He said, last week I wouldn't have thought he'd be in that casket. Said, I got him a little swing, and Mays, he'd sit in that little swing, and said, Doc, that's his wife, and said, Daddy's coming home after the revival tonight. And said he'd be out there sitting in that swing looking for Daddy. But said he won't be in that swing anymore. And those old eyes had protruded, and as red as chicken blood, and he was crying. And he said, I was coming out of Jacksonville, Florida the other day, and you said, here's Billy Kelly, and he's going to sing, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. And he said, step back, Ralph, you and Mays. Ralph, you're the casket of my boy. I want to sing it. That's the best he ever sang. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. I want to tell you, Job was crushed with bereavement. He's crippled by bankruptcy. Number three, he was covered with boils. Now, I had one time. That's bad enough. If that one's anything assigned what others are, you have every one of them. I don't want another. I got off the airplane in Knoxville. And Brother Bob said, what's that? I had a big boil right here. Bob said, please, you're walking crooked. I said, yeah, but my sermons are straight, bud. Say amen. Boy, I've been over. I'm telling you, it was killing me. And he said, I'll take you to the doctor. I said, no. I'll freak. And boy, we had the best time. And every time I'd jerk a little, that boy would kill me, and I'd start crying. And everybody in the congregation joined in. They thought, boy, the Holy Ghost show his blessing. Old Mace is crying. And boy, they cried. And you know what Bob did? He took me to see an osteopath. And I thought that was a long-winded, you know, long-billed bird. I didn't know what an osteopath was. That guy got me in there and said, sit down. Then he said, lie down. Put your feet together. He said, Brother Jackson, you're out of line. I said, I could save his $10. Bless God, I knew he was out of line before he came in here. And that doctor said, I'll fix you up. And he got my leg, and he popped it, and he popped my arm. I said, hey, Doc, the ball's on the back of my neck. Bless God, it's not on my leg. And he's a-popping around there. And I got up and went out. Now, he knew my ball any good at all. I got off after the rabbit service Sunday. Bob took me to the airport, and I got him. I said, I'll see you next year. He said, boy, we had the best revival we ever had since you've been coming to Knoxville, Tennessee. He said, my people have cried more. He said, I want to tell you, if the first night's dry next year and the second night's dry, I'm praying for a boy. Thank God. He said, but I want to tell you, I had one. Job had him covered all from the crown of his head to the tip of his toes. Listen, he had that fatal. Boils had no cure. And Job, listen, he was covered with boils. And then here's the worst thing about him that made his roses fade. He had, his wife cursed him. Oh, his wife cursed him. Cursing guy. He said, Job, I thought you had some integrity. Have you lost it? Why don't you curse God and die? No, Job said, you talk like a foolish woman. Oh, I tell you. Said, you're talking crazy, honey. I'm just telling you, you're foolish. Said, just because the clouds are hanging low and the sun's not coming through today. Said, it's still shining on the other side of that cloud. And said, honey, I want you to know I'm not going to curse him and die. I want you to know this woman was foolish in saying Job curse God and die. A lot of your people will tell you, and his rose, his faith is all alone. But if you'll turn to the 42nd chapter and verse 10, oh, the roses bloomed again in his garden. You say, how, preacher, mate? I want to tell you how. One day he called his wife, said, honey, you didn't believe God, did you? Said, count them. I got twice as many sheep, twice as many camels. Ain't that good? He said, honey, got twice. And I said he had twice as many children. No lady down the ladder came to me and said, no, he didn't have twice as many children. I said he did. He had 10 on the ground, 10 in heaven. Say amen. Yeah. Praise God. I want you to know, but I see him stand there. And he says to his wife, look at all those sheep. Look at how God's blessed us twice. In the end, more than he did in the beginning. And I hear him say, the roses have bloomed again in my garden in the end. Because of time, let me give you this illustration. I'll close. I used to go to Canton, North Carolina. Canton's a little place where they got a paper mill. And boy, it smells. You can smell it 10 miles before you get to the city limits. And I used to go over there and hold meetings all the time. And there are great people over there. I mean some great people. But you know why I didn't want to go? You had to fight two things, the devil and the smell. I never smelled anything like. I mean, it was terrible. And I'd be over there preaching. But the preacher told me about something that happened in Waynesville, just 5 miles away. He said, Brother May, several years ago, there was a Christian couple over here. And they had a little boy. And that Christian couple prayed, God, let us rear him to be a mighty man of God in Western North Carolina. You know that little boy? Oh, he left to go to Sunday school, he left to go to church. And then his daddy got real sick. And the daddy died. But before the daddy died, he looked up and he said to his wife, honey, make him a great man. And said, honey, you may have to scrub floors. You may have to go out and beg. You may have to work 24 hours a day, but promise me, give him all you got. And there'll be a payday at the end of the road. In other words, he's saying, the roses will bloom, Mom, for you one day. And so she took her husband out to the grave a few days later. She told that little boy, said, I'm going to keep that promise. He started growing, and he went from one grade to another grade, and finally came to the high school. And then she was working in free jobs and doing everything she could to keep him in school. And then he came for the 11th grade. They didn't have 12 in those days. And he didn't want to let her know. But she found out he was going to be the valedictorian of the class. She found out that he had all the honors in the senior class that year. And she took little pennies that she had saved, went down to Patton Avenue in Asheville. Bought the best pair of shoes she could find. Bought the best suit she could find. And she came back and she said to him, I know. And said, it'll be worth everything. She said, the roses will bloom again in my garden as I sit in the back of that auditorium and see you stand up and make your speech. And I'll look up to heaven and tell my husband, husband, he's all right. He came through just like I promised he would by the help of the Lord. That boy said, Mama, I got to practice for 2 days for the got to practice the names and giving out the diplomas. But said, Mama, I want you to come. But Mama, I want you to sit way back under the balcony. She thought he meant where nobody could see her because she didn't have good clothes. The night of the graduation came, the nice superintendent of the county schools got up and said to the principal, the faculty, I'm glad to be here to present these awards on graduation night. Then he turned to the principal and said, now you give out the rewards, then we'll give out the diplomas. And the principal said, ladies and gentlemen, parents, students of Waynesville High School, it gives me a privilege to give out rewards. And said, the first one is the valedictorian. And I want him to stand. And he stood. And the principal said, come over. And he said, no, sir. I want you to count down to number 11. That's where my diploma is. I watched in the tomb. And then he said, why? He said, because I want my diploma now. And back underneath the balcony in the darkness was a little ragged mother. And when that principal reached over and got the 11th one and handed it to him with his reward, he got up and fixed his little tinsel. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, faculty, students, and parents, it gives me a great honor to stand here. And he said, I've got this in my hand, but it's not mine. He said, I want my mama to stand back yonder, and I want her to come down. This is going to be my speech. She put shoes on me when I was barefooted. She rocked me to sleep when I was sick. She worked 24 hours a day at times to give me clothes to wear and food to eat. I said, Ma, stand up. I want you to sit back there because you'd have a long ways to let people see you come down the aisle. And boy, that little mother started walking down that aisle clapping those hands. That boy ran down, kissed her, brought her back, and put his arm around her and said, Mama, this is your diploma, and this is your valedictorian medal. And she looked up and she said, son, it's worth every tear. It's worth every heartache I've ever had. Oh, to receive it at the end of your graduation. I want to tell you, mister, when the roses bloom again in your garden, my God, at the end of the road, it'll be worth everything that you have ever experienced and ever had, mister.